Glory to Jesus Christ. During one Bible study, this group of parishioners, they talked about this gospel story we just heard. And, well, they shared a lot of good and nice thoughts. They really found a lot of inspiration from this story. And they understood it correctly. But their conclusion in the end was not good. Because their conclusion was that this word of God can be really lived only by those in Radoka way who are in monasteries, who are in priesthood, who have this religious life. And I think that this bad conclusion is root of many problems in the church because it spread very widely. Because many times we approach gospel with exactly with this attitude that, well, we are not those who somehow in special way dedicate your life to God. So it means that this gospel in its radical form, it's not for us. And then we choose some kind of very simpler path. But this path is not leading to the heaven. And this, I think personally, that this is the source of all problems in the church. This is problem of that situation we hear all time now, that people are leaving their faith. They are losing their faith. They are leaving church. I think this is the main problem. Because we don't take gospel as a word from God which shows us the path. How this is not only a problem from this time now. It was a problem for centuries. And it's a problem which comes out like temptation to understand this religious life in different light. But how this religious life, how this position of monks and nuns came to life in the life of the church? It was not from the beginning. It was not order we can find in the gospel. And actually we can talk about first monks or nuns sometimes in 4th century. First 3 centuries went and Christians were filling the earth without this organization, without this monastic life. This monastic life came to life and was born when life, the zeal for God in the church, started to cool down. When level of spiritual life was some kind of gospel, or living gospel was a little bit watered down, there were people who had this huge love for God, and they realized, I cannot live really this my love for God in this place, in this world, because this world is pulling me down. And they left and they went to live to desert. They were looking for places where they can live this deep unity with God and grow in love for God. And again, there were many, many years went until they came to this position, these monks and nuns, to make this solemn vows, as we know, vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. It was not from the beginning. It came later. What they wanted to do was to grow in love, to love God more and more. And somehow, naturally, they knew how to do this. At first, they tried to live simply a life. What does it mean? They were trying to cut off all those not necessary things which keep them down, and they don't allow them to raise their mind and soul towards God. So they were looking into their lives and said, well, this is keeping me down. It doesn't help me to grow in faith. It doesn't help me to grow towards God. It takes me away from God. So they tried to eliminate those things. And this was main impulse why they went to solitude, because they were trying to find place when they can live this simpler life which would allow them to come closer to God. What did they live? They lived the spirit of poverty, which later was transformed to this first vow, this solemn vow, to live poverty. But it was not something that they took upon themselves like something what is high sacrifice and something what is damaging their life. Because they wanted to love God more, they started to giving things, relationships and activities which was taking them away from God. This vow of poverty is not vow when I am torturing myself. This is vow and this way of life when I open myself to be more free to love God more. When they went out, they started to live another things very naturally. They knew that if they want to have this God spirit in their hearts, so they have to prepare their hearts for God. So they tried to live pure life. They were trying to purify their heart, their mind, make their thoughts are good, words are good, deeds are good, pleasing to God. What did they live? They were trying to live chastity, which later was transformed to this solemn vow, chastity. But they didn't do it just because it was put on them as some kind of huge and unpleasant order. They did it because they loved God. They wanted to love God more, and they wanted to reach holiness and to get to heaven. And then another very, very nice aspect was that they were looking at Jesus as an example how to live Christian life. What does it mean to be child of Heavenly Father? So they were looking at Jesus and they saw that Jesus was obedient to his Father in everything. So obedient that he even accepted horrible death on cross for us. And it was act of obedience to God's will, Father's will. So they said, they told themselves, if I want to grow and I want to be really child of Heavenly Father, I need to follow God's will. And they were obedient to God's will and to those who were giving them guidance on this spiritual life, because they saw that through obedience, Christ brought us salvation. They followed him. And later, this natural movement in their life, this activity, this obedience was transformed to this solemn vow, obedience. And we can see that they didn't do it because they want to be special. They did it because they wanted to be holy. They wanted eternal life. They wanted salvation. Can you see now how foolish it is if we say that to grow in radical love for God is only for people who are religious monks, nuns, etc.? How foolish it is conclusion that we are not those who are called to the same goal. There are not two gospels, one for those who dedicate their life in special way to God and the others. There is only one gospel. And one Holy Father, I think it was Isaac the Syrian, I'm not sure now, but he said these wonderful words, "The best belongs to everybody." God calls us to take the best. It takes heaven, because this is for everybody. And we should not give up to reach, to try to reach and to get this, the best thing for the man. But we can refuse. We can say, well, really, I don't want to have this spiritual, simpler life. I don't care about this purity of heart and mind. I'm not going to work hard on this. And obedience, well, what fits to me, I will follow. What doesn't fit to me and to my schedules, I will not follow. We don't need to say this directly, but we can do this. And we are doing this if we don't follow this path. As this man from the gospel, Christ, he gave a very good question. How can I get to heaven? And he asked the right person. He asked God. And Christ gave him an advice. But because that man was not prepared and didn't wish to and was not willing to follow the simpler way of life, he was tied with his property. He left sad, because he didn't follow this path of simple life and poverty. Because he didn't try to train his heart to be pure without passions, without these different tides which are in our heart. And there were some kind of gluttony, some kind of this desire to own this property, because it brought him not only some kind of confidence, I can take care of myself, and position which, because many people, because of his wealth, were giving him like some kind of honor, he didn't want to give up this. He kept this passion in his heart. He was not trying to help your heart. And this is the reason why he was not able to accept God's advice. And he left sad. And he was not obedient. This Christ's advice didn't fit to his way of thinking. So he refused obedience to Savior, who called him, who invited him, and he left sad. And many times we are living, even church sad. We living God many times with this sadness in heart when we are refusing to follow advices he gives us. And we think that it will be somehow. We have this false hope that, well, maybe if I do something, you know, in some kind of good deeds, you know, so then heaven will be open and maybe a lot of fanfares there will be when I enter to heaven. But if this basic setting of our life is off, even our deeds are without meaning and without value. And you can tell me now, well, I understand this, but I see my life. I see that it's not easy to follow this path. It's almost impossible for me to really to try to simplify my life. I know my heart and I know that it is so almost impossible to reach purity of my mind, my thoughts. And I know myself and I know that, well, I am so weak in following God's words. What can I do? Am I lost? And we have to remember these Christ's words from the end of the gospel, because the same question was given to Christ through his apostles. Who can be saved then? And he said, what is impossible for man, it's possible for God. And he gives us this hope that while we are not alone in this way, that there will be his grace, which will begin our strength to follow this path. But it will never happen. This grace will stay inactive if we don't try. If we don't open ourselves for this desire to love God more and to reach holiness and heaven. If we don't make this decision in our hearts, and if we don't act as those people from the fourth century who were starting to look new place to fulfill their desire for holiness and heaven, this grace will be inactive in us. We need God's help even to start this journey. And today is a good day, because we came to Christ. And he is coming to us in Eucharist. He, real God, it's coming today to us, and he gives us the same invitation to holiness, to heaven, to eternal life, and he gave to this young man. Let's not refuse this. Let's not to let this advice go away. Instead of that, after Holy Communion, let's ask him, Lord, I want to love you more. I want to be holy. I want heaven. Help me. And he will. Amen.